Good evening, Connection Community Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us, please? God, we gather tonight. It's a different kind of night. A night where we focus on some things that may not be that comfortable, but necessary to realize. Thank you for everyone that came tonight to explore, to grow, to go deeper, to learn more about you and what you've done for us. God, we ask you to reveal something new or show us again what we need. As we hear your scripture, as we reflect on some words that we have to share, help us set aside all of the stuff of the day or anything that comes after our time together and just really hang out with you. We pray this in the name of the Father, your Son, Jesus the Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody gathered said, Amen. Well, tonight, Connection Community Church, is a night that we call Ash Wednesday. It's the first night of a season in the church, not just this church, but churches all across the continent. We call it Lent, L-E-N-T, kind of an odd word. It really means lengthening, but Lent is a period of 6.5 weeks leading up till Easter. 6.5 weeks from now until Easter Sunday. Wow, that's kind of pretty soon. But anyway, we don't want to rush it because this is a very important time for us. It's a time of preparation. It's a very important time for reflection, to reflect on ourselves, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every one of us. It's also a time to reflect on Jesus' journey to the cross. We can't skip that part. We can't skip this time, because what happens is when we get to Easter, it's so much bigger and so much greater and so much more awesome when we've spent this time in reflection. Reflection. Ultimately, we're going to go from now right up until Easter, but we need to focus even on Jesus' death and then resurrection and what that means in our lives.
During Lent, we focus on spiritual disciplines, things like reading and meditating on God's word, on time of devotion, on self-examination and repentance, on prayer and fasting, on self-denial. It's during this season of Lent that many people give something up. Maybe you've heard somebody say, I'm giving this up for Lent. It's some type of fasting that they're going through. It might be a food, it might be a beverage, it might be an activity, giving something up. The purpose is to give it up. And then when you think of what you are missing, you use that time and energy to focus on God in prayer. Lent is a season of reflection, a time in which we considered where we are spiritually, a time to consider who we are and whose we are.
And so here we are, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. Now, traditionally, this time, the day before today, yesterday, some people, we've heard of this word Shrove Tuesday. Anybody heard of that? Yeah. Or Fat Tuesday. Oh, yeah. It's that last day before the season of Lent where historically it's the day that people would kind of clean out their pantry of the fat, clean out the refrigerators of the fat in preparation for a season of fasting. So it's kind of like your loading up day before the
or getting it out so it won't tempt
getting
you.
Getting it out. All right. Who knows the food of choice for Shrove Tuesday? Pancakes. How many had pancakes yesterday?
We're not much of a Shrove Tuesday crowd
not
here.
Not too much. A few of you, though. Did you do that on purpose, Devin? No, you didn't even know. Okay. All right. Well, many churches across the country have pancake suppers. You might have seen that on their marquees for Shrove Tuesday.
Yeah. Now, on Ash Wednesday, tonight, we focus on a relationship with God in terms of our humanity. And we're reminded of two things primarily. First, we're reminded during Lent of our mortality, that our days here on earth are numbered, and they will come to an end. Second, we are reminded, and we really shouldn't need reminding of this, but we are sinners in need of repentance. Repentance, not merely being sorry, but then going back to our old behaviors. Repentance actually means a change of direction, a change of heart, heading in a new direction. God reminds us of this through the prophet Joel.
But there's also this. It's not too late, God's personal message. Come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and weeping, sorry for your sins. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. Say this next sentence with me. God is kind and merciful, isn't he? Isn't he so kind and so merciful? Wow. He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. This must be a patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. Who knows? Maybe he'll do it now. Maybe he'll turn around and show pity. Maybe when all's said and done, there will be blessings full and robust for your God.
Mm. And so as mortal sinners in need of a Savior, we are called to consider where we stand with Jesus, especially at this time of year as we consider his journey to the cross, as we consider the sacrifice he made for you and for me. This Lenten season in this church, we're going to focus on how amazing Jesus was, how he amazed people over and over and over again, and how we should be amazed when we consider what he did and continues to do for each and every one of us.
A month or so ago, we preached a series called Sermon on the Mount. I'm hoping that many of you remember that. There's a section of Scripture that the Sermon on the Mount is located in. It's Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's a very long teaching that Jesus shares. Lots of really, really great stuff in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, our lesson tonight is found at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a practical, timeless, and great reminder of our humanity. Hear the words of Jesus.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
And so Jesus wraps up a great teaching on a variety of subjects by telling his followers, basically, they are foolish if they do not listen and follow what Jesus says. He tells them that they should build their spiritual house on a foundation of rock, not sand, and that Jesus Christ is that rock. Anything else that is built not on spiritual rock will collapse. It's like building on sand.
So as we've shared before a few times, we lived in Sussex County for 24 years. And you know, every time we'd go over to the beach after one of those storms that did a lot of damage. Just curious. I remember one time we went over to Bethany Beach after a particularly bad storm. And we saw the plastic, like 4-inch or whatever size they were, drain pipes just sticking out of the ground, not connected any longer. Because what they had been connected to had been washed away, because in that particular area, they built on the sand, literally out past the dune, too far, too close to the water, unprotected, exactly what Jesus is talking about here, building on sand. And when they built on sand and rather than rock, we saw the houses. Well, we didn't, because they were no more.
Here is a solid fact for us to focus on tonight. We are mortals. And with that, every single one of us, every single one of us will someday leave this earth behind. The body that we've been given has a lifespan. It does not go on. This human body that you see does not go on forever. When it's over, it's over. It will perish. We will all die. That is a hard thing to kind of grasp, something we don't want to think about, but that is a fact. That's the nature of life here on earth. And along with us, all of our stuff will sooner or later perish as well. All of our houses, whether it's built on rock or sand, will eventually go. That's one of our focuses tonight, mortality. From dust we came, to dust we will return. No one can escape that.
The flip side is this. Even though we're all mortal, it doesn't mean that life ends when this earthly existence does. Just because the body dies doesn't mean that we have to. And that points us to our need for, repentance. Our need to change direction. Our need to build our spiritual houses on the rock of Jesus Christ. We might die, and each of us will, but it doesn't mean we must cease to live. Through his resurrection, Jesus offers us resurrection as well. And all we have to do is receive the gift of life that he offers. All we have to do is accept the invitation that he gives. All we have to do is make Jesus Lord of our lives, our one and only, the one to whom we give honor and allegiance, the one to whom all knees will bow and all tongues will express that Jesus Christ is Lord. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, now say it like you mean it.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah, that's a little more like it. Because that is the truth. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And so tonight we recognize that even though our earthly houses will eventually fall into the sea, our spiritual houses are built on eternity. Isn't that awesome? I mean, our spiritual houses are built for eternity. If we build on the rock, not on the sand. If Jesus is the foundation, not someone or something else. And so tonight we recognize our humanness, our vulnerability, our mortality. Tonight we recognize our need to repent, to shift gears, to kind of point ourselves toward God instead of away, our need to seek a new direction, our need to find new life in Jesus Christ.
The end of chapter 7 of Matthew, the end of the section of scripture that we shared earlier, Jesus shares with his followers there on the mountain, at the end of that section of the Bible known as the Sermon on the Mount, the writer Matthew shares this.
When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were what? amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law.
So here's a question for you. Do you find Jesus amazing? If so, turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is amazing.
Jesus is amazing.
Absolutely. He's amazing. Are you amazed at his teaching? I hope so. At his authority? Are you amazed? And this is the real amazing thing. Are you amazed that he was willing to die for you? For you. For me. That's amazing, isn't it? So that we might live through eternity with him. Are you amazed at the love that Jesus has for you? Unconditional love. The love that Jesus has for you, that grace that you can't earn, you don't deserve, neither do I. We're not worthy, but Christ is, and that's good enough, isn't it? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, now I'm found. Wow. Amazed. Are you amazed with Jesus? Are you so amazed that you allow yourself to be lost in him? Are you so amazed that you'll open your hearts and your minds and your spirits to the sacrifice he made for you and what it means to make him Lord of your life? We encourage you to allow yourself to receive and to celebrate the amazing grace that Jesus offers you, offers us, and all we have to do is open our arms and receive it. All we have to do is accept the offer and quit saying no. Amen. Amen.
From now until Easter, you're going to hear the word amazed. Amazed. That's what we're going to be talking about, how Jesus absolutely amazes us through what he does, how he lived, because when we realize that, how truly amazing it is, all we can really do is go down on our knees and say, thank you, Lord. That's all we can do. And so we look forward to the different teachings that we've identified through Scripture. We can't wait to share over the next 6-7 weeks about the amazing Jesus and how that impacts every single one of our lives. And then Easter morning, truly the resurrection, beyond words, amazing doesn't even cut it. Amazing. But for now, that's where we're going. For now, this is Ash Wednesday. And we encourage you from now until Easter to observe the spiritual disciplines that we've mentioned. Get your Bibles out, open them up, read them. Say a prayer before you read them. Read your Bible and say, God, teach me something. You'll be amazed, there's that word again, at what God will reveal to you. Pray, meditate, think about it. Like read a scripture and then think about it all through the day. Write a one sentence down and take it with you wherever you go. And let it just kind of soak in. That's what it means to practice the spiritual discipline of Bible or meditation. There are spiritual disciplines like devotion and self-examination. That's what tonight is all about, but it just doesn't start tonight. Stop tonight. It's all through this season. Actually, any time, we need to do that every day. Repentance, prayer, fasting. Alan and I are fasting from a considerable amount of food that we used to eat. Daniel Plan, friends. But you know what? It's important, and it's hard work, and we have to use prayer in order to continue to stay on track with that. Self-denial. We invite each one of you to humbly offer yourselves before the Lord, repenting of those things that have separated you from his love. We all have that. We all have those things. And as a sign of that tonight, we offer to place a sign of the cross on your forehead in ashes. The ashes came from our palms from last year's Palm Sunday services. These ashes remind us of our mortality and our need for repentance, that everything will return to dust, including us, and that the only thing that lasts, that truly lasts, and it does last, is our relationship with Jesus Christ, now and through eternity. Let's pray.
Let's pray. Almighty God, you've created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes we have here tonight may be for us a sign, a reminder of our mortality and our need for repentance, so that we remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. We pause here, Lord, to individually offer our prayers of confession for that junk in our lives, those sins that are keeping us from fully realizing your grace. Lord, please hear our prayers as we confess our sin. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.